Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is July 22nd, 2014, and Motivation Muscle is brought to you by Fiorella Barbell Company. We are the sponsor of this show, where we don't try, we succeed. We are faith, belief, and commitment. And today is going to be a big day on the show because this is another first-timer here. You probably know the man's name, obviously, is John Bruni. If you're familiar with Milo magazine, John's been an author and contributor for that magazine for some time. That's how I learned of John. And today we're going to talk about the mental connection with the strength connection. And I want to welcome John Bruni to the show. Welcome, John.
Thanks, Eric. It's great to be on today. Looking forward to some awesome just downloading of information.
This is what we want. Before we get into our chat today, why don't you tell everybody at Motivation Muscle who you are, some of your accomplishments. Obviously, we know that you're a strong man, an author. You do quite a bit. You do strength equipment design. You're a pastor. And obviously, you're a hell of a motivational speaker. So you can either expand on that or just tell everybody what you're up to.
Well, it's been a great year for us. We had an opportunity to be on Guinness World Records Unleashed on True TV and had an opportunity to set a world record there with my wife. I laid under a bed of nails, and my wife jump roped on top of that 112 times.
And that is awesome.
It was crazy. It's been a great year. We've been doing a lot of traveling and speaking different places. We have two different programs that we do. I have a Pressing the Limits program that people can get online and see just some highlights of that strength show. It's a motivational strength show where we go into churches, schools, businesses, and we do all kinds of crazy things, you know, breaking stuff that's set on fire, driving nails through wood, you know, anything you can kind of imagine, bending steel bars, breaking drill bits. And then also I have another presentation. It's called Impact. And that is more for corporate America, where I come in and talk about using impact as an acrostic, talk about being internally motivated, making positive contributions. And the reason I like that impact aspect is because today in business and in life, you have to not only be able to absorb impact, because stuff's going to come at you. So we might do something like dropping the bowling ball on my stomach or the bed of nails stunt. But not only do you have to absorb impact, but at the same time, you have to be able to create it. And so we'll also break bricks and talk about the two sides of impact that everybody faces. And also, I'm a pastor. It was a big year with the Neuromass becoming a bestseller on Amazon. So it's just been a fantastic year doing a lot of stuff. And just, it's never been a better time to be a strong man. I'll tell you what.
No, I agree. Before we go any further, too, John, do you have a website or anywhere where people can look at your great work and what you're up to and fire questions to you if they had to?
Absolutely. There's two websites. One is www.submitstrength.com. And if you just type in Submit Strength on Google, it's going to come up. That's our strength equipment company, and we specialize in high-quality strongman gear. For instance, I know a lot of guys can get like steel logs on the internet. Well, our beginner log, just the log alone, no weights, weighs 140 pounds. And
nice.
We make those all the way up to 250 pounds. And they can be thrown and tossed and just beat up. And so that's some of the stuff. It's kind of premium stuff. And then as far as the speaking and the stunts, if they want to see that side of it, the extreme stuff, that's on www.pressingthelimits.com.
That sounds good. Do you do much stuff with, you know, big globy dumbbells, stuff where it can fill with shot? Do you get in any of that stuff with your business, John?
We actually make 200-pound dumbbells, and I actually have one. Nobody wants to buy it because the shipping's so expensive.
That's the thing.
Because it's not shot loaded. It's just big dumbbell, and big. We can put any handles you want on it. So if you want a 3-inch handle, a 1-inch handle, whatever you want, we can throw it on there.
So you can make to order pretty much anything you want.
Absolutely.
Now, if someone did want to get into, well, they call them the circus dumbbells, but obviously we had talked off the air. You would look at people's designs too, if you felt it was good quality design too, would you?
Oh yeah, I think the circus dumbbells are great. You know, the reason we don't make them is because we have a different fabricator now, so everything is just pure steel. One of the concerns I have with shot-loaded stuff, and I have a lot of friends that do it, I think they have great equipment. What you want to be careful of is when you get something off the internet, if you don't know the maker, sometimes those shot-loaded things can dent and bust right away. You know, they're not necessarily made for heavy-duty guys. That's why you got to trust the guys that make your stuff or that you're buying.
Without a doubt. I've seen that enough through the years. I mean, you got to find a good fabricator. There's no doubt about it.
For sure.
Well, why don't we get into the mental aspect, the connection with, you know, the super strength itself. Let's face it. You got to have the mental connection to the physical, and it's all knotted together, as I would say. Let's talk about the mental connection right away, John. How do you approach mentally when you're getting ready to, say, do a world record lift? Or for the sake of the guys that are probably like you and I and many others out there who are out, you know, out in a garage or down in a hot basement this time of year and just doing regular training, you know, maybe not getting ready for an event, but we want to bring our squat or deadlift or overhead up. How would you approach with yourself and an athlete like that?
Well, one of the easiest things I can share with that is I was working with a gentleman right now who's getting ready for college football and putting him through the paces, you know, getting his summer training around ready so that he could hit two-a-days, you know, with both feet running on the ground. And one of the aspects I try and tell people is one of the greatest things you can do mentally is embrace the discomfort. And just know, I mean, a lot of it depends on whether you're going to be doing something explosively, whether it's going to be endurance or whether it's going to be a grind lift. The approach is a little bit different, but I always tell people you must get comfortable. I think John Brookfield, my mentor, came up with this. You must become comfortable with discomfort.
I agree.
And once you can do that, you know, because the body will avoid, and I find this, you know, it's great to set up. My main training place is in my basement dungeon. We've got just kettlebells coming out the ears, you know, every kettlebells from 35 pounds all the way up to 150 pounds. We've got thousands of pounds of plates and bar, reverse hype, all kinds of crazy stuff in that dungeon. But I personally like to train in that kind of setting. That's the best for me because I can get crazy and mentally get hopped up, you know, have the music cranked up. But what I've found is that a lot of times that guys that they train on their own schedule, they will procrastinate so much because the body wants to avoid discomfort at any cost. And
I agree.
So one of the things I try and tell guys is set a time with yourself. If you're one that, you know, you don't have a set training time, that night before or that morning, you know, put it down on paper. Say, this is the time I'm going to train. This is the time I have set aside. And that will help you mentally prepare too. Otherwise, you'll find 1,000 different things, you know, you could be doing if you're going to head into that crazy intense workout. So,
well, I'm like you in a lot of
calendar.
No, go ahead.
I'm saying embrace that discomfort. That's a big, huge thing.
It's totally big because I used to be in the basement. Now I'm out in the garage. So I guess I graduated to the garage out of necessity, mainly because you couldn't press the ceilings were too low. But
okay.
I agree with you. What I'll tell you what I see too. A lot of people they have good ideas. they have good intentions, but there's few and far between that I see that really set the mental connection really into it. Like, it's real easy. Like, if I want to go out in the back tonight and do some stuff, we all go through different mental dilemmas, I call it. Like, some nights I'll go out there, and of course, you could, like, I feel like I could run through that garage wall. And then other nights, you know, you're a little bit lower with action. That doesn't mean you're not getting what you want, but I'm with you. I like setting stuff, and when you go out there, there's no one or nothing out there that's going to stop you from what you do. And when you said, you know, I can go down there and play the music loud, I can really get crazy and get insane with your activity, I've done it and I love it. It's the only way I can train, because I train alone probably like you do. So you're the motivator. And you have to be able to be out there on your own, motivate yourself. And let me tell you, I don't know about you, in the winter, we have, you know, up in New York, we have some pretty cold driving snow winters. And let me tell you, it's pretty easy where, hey, you know, I think I'll stay in tonight because I don't want to go out in 20 below. Especially like when I'm outside training the Husafell stone, which mine is all steel. And I'm sure you've probably had this happen. I mean, my skin sticks to the steel, it's so cold. Because can't really wear gloves with this. And when you talk about, like, John Brookfield saying discomfort, yeah, I'll tell you what, I've lost more than a piece of skin on that stone. So
absolutely.
So the point is, John, I've had this round and round with people for years. Okay, what's more important, the mental connection, the physical connection? I don't know, man. I mean, the mental carries everything out, because, I mean, it's going to drive the physical. But at times, I'm very confused with it in a way. And this is from a guy that's been training for a few decades here and has done some pretty heavy stuff like yourself. At times, man, I can be – it's got me by the tail. Let me put it to you that way. You know?
Yeah, it is. And I agree. It's a tough thing to really deal with, and that's why I love bringing the two together. You can't really separate them. But everybody can tell time when, you know, their mind wasn't there and they kind of turned it off and they were able to go through a workout and just make it through and just push the body. And then there are other times guys can talk about, hey, it was all mental. My body didn't want to do it and my mind took over. And the way I like to do it is, you know, there are times when, you know, you're going to rely on one more than the other. But the goal of, and I think it's part of the goal of this show, the more often you can bring the two together – the more you become that super athlete and take things to the extreme. But yeah.
Well, I always. Did I lose you?
No, you're still on.
Okay. Well, it just faded. But you know what? And I didn't mean to go over the top of it. I always say a thing I've had happen, and I bet you have too. This happens to me when I go very heavy with squatting, especially. Now, it hasn't happened a lot in all the years I've trained. I'd say maybe twice. And I do everything, being alone with what I'm using, I have to use a power rack because I need safety. You know, if I couldn't come up with a squat with what I'd put on my shoulders, you know, I'm dead. But I do everything dead stop. So I'm doing everything out of the hole, no rebound. And I can tell you this, the old saying where you'll say, I can remember, you know, hearing my grandmother stuff and other people, you know, you read things. It was like you were seeing the angels, man. And I'm going to tell you something. Maybe this sounds way out of whack to you, but I bet you and a lot of people listening have had this experience. I'm telling you, there were times, it's like here, today it's almost 90 and it's humid, and I'd be out training this stuff, and say I'd be dead stopping anywhere from 550 to 700. And, you know, your body is taking terrific, terrific beatings right now. I mean, the heat, and you're trying to mentally keep it together, and you got a puddle under you every time you're stopping, okay?
Yep.
Now, it got to the point at times where I felt that I almost stepped out of my body when I'd make these big lifts and this type of stuff. Have you ever had any familiarity with that, or does that sound totally off the path?
Oh, no, there's been times when I've walked away from a lift and say, I don't even know how that happened.
Exactly.
Like you got to find yourself, you know, where it's borderline passing out. You're like, hey, how did that even happen? It was like this whole experience, you know, it was almost surreal. Did this really just occur? Because it was that intense and it summoned something from so deep within you. You're like, how did I even accomplish that?
Yeah, we always hear about all these like time shifts. If you get, you know, being that you're into the mental connection like myself and others, you know, I've read a lot of stuff, metaphysical and things of that nature, where you can go, it's almost like you can go between realm to realm to realm. And it's like I could never figure, you know, I drove myself that hard that it just felt like I stepped out for a second and then stepped back in and still did the lift. And like you said, you're like, how did that even happen? And it's like, I guess for people to really understand the mental connection like we're talking about today, it's almost like it's going to take you – it could take you years. Maybe it'll take you a year, whatever. It's almost like you're on that roller coaster ride and you never know what's going to happen, you know?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, we talk about this, the mental connection. One of the things is a lot of people, you have to try to be present in your lifting. There's that time we just talked about. But a majority of time, you know, guys tend to shut off their brains while they're lifting as a technique to make it easier. And I say, you know, you need to turn on the brain and embrace everything that's going on. We talked about this whole embracing the discomfort. John Brookfield, I remember we've done this probably three or four different times, at least three times that I know of. We set world records pulling a truck, semi-truck, for a mile. The first time we did it was John, myself, and Steve Jack, another legend. And then John and I did it, I think, two other times together. And I tell you what, you just have to get comfortable with discomfort. And I remember the night before those trials, mentally rehearsing and embracing the pain. You know, at quarters of a mile, this is going to happen. You know, in my brain, that mental rehearsal saying, you know, the quads are going to be on fire. The posterior chain, you've got to tighten that down, crank it out, embrace, dig. You know, and I remember mentally going through and actually rehearsing the pain so that when it that next day, I could just embrace it. There was no fear. I actually looked forward to it. And here's the thing that only some of your listeners will understand, Eric. You probably get this. There becomes an addiction to that discomfort. And where you're like, man, I need to get that workout. I need to get that in there because I enjoy that discomfort of what it does to my body, especially later on with the endorphins and everything else kicking in.
Well, isn't it, you know, I always kind of say like, we might even say it today. It's almost like, I say the guys connected with this podcast and all the listeners out there, I call us like the Roman Legion. It's like, the worst thing that can ever happen to me mentally is when I have to take time off. And there's some reasons you have to. You might have an injury. You know, things happen in your family, you know, like this with starting the business, you know, being a one-man show, things can change day to day, night to night, and this is it. But I can tell you this, John. When I'm not training, and you know there's mental stuff going on, because psychologically I always feel very off. You always teach yourself aggression in the arena anyways. But I can go one or two ways when, say, I'm off for 7 days. I can be a guy where I can't stand to be around anybody, let alone myself, and very aggressive, okay? And then other times, I won't say I go docile, but I'll kind of, like, step back from everything and try to, I don't know if I'd say avoid things and people, but I think it's more of a thing. It's you're trying to get yourself mentally together, because to lose even 7 days, there's a mental sharpness to me that you lose. You know, you were talking about being mentally sharp, without a doubt. And you and I both know, I don't care how good a shape you are, lifting, endurance, whatever. You take 7 or 10 days off, we always laugh because it's like you'll go back and lift, and you're not really what you were. It's like you can get out of lifting shape pretty easy too. So that connection, it's almost like, you know, you had your finger in that 220 and you pulled it out and it's like, what do I do now? You know, mentally you're saying to yourself, where am I today? You know, I'm not under that bar. I'm not sweating my guts out. I'm not screaming. And basically, it's the only thing I can do where I can't go away for murder, because I can go in there myself. I mean, it's a total to me, it's the greatest thing, man, to be able to do that. You know, it's an honor. And when I'm not doing it, I'm just no good as far as I'm concerned with a lot of things. I mean, hit me with that. I mean, what do you think about stuff like that?
Well, it's right on. My wife will tell me sometimes, you know, said, you just need to go down and lift.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many aspects to what you were just talking about with taking 7 to 10 days off. And we've all had to do it before, whether you're traveling or performing where you can't, you know, you're performing stunts, which is totally different. You can't go and trash yourself on the squats and then turn around and do, you know, log lifting and everything else. So there are times you have to take these times off, and you touched on two separate things that what I thought was interesting is one, the mental aspect. Yes, there's that whole aspect of feeling like I haven't done my time, I haven't done the work, but also I think along with the mental, and it affects the mental, is the hormonal boost that you get from lifting heavy. You know, it's that lack. I'm not saying under testosterone. I know there's a lot of studies on this, and, you know, a lot of guys will disagree with this, but there is something hormonally about lifting heavy, heavy stuff. It does something to your adrenaline, and always the testosterone, for sure. But you're getting that adrenaline, endorphin boost, and, you know, you just feel more, you know, you carry yourself a different way. When you've had a week of heavy lifting, you walk out and you carry yourself different than you do when you don't have that week. And
I totally agree.
And things, when you take that week off, what's interesting too, you know, you say, even though your body has not atrophied that much over 7 days, I always call it the it feels heavy principle.
Yeah.
Stuff that's normally heavy, but not like crazy heavy, you know, all of a sudden that first workout back, everything feels heavy, you know.
Definitely.
I just started recently, it's been probably about 5 or 6 months. I'm not a traditional power lifter, more of a strong man, but started to get into bench pressing with some friends again, because normally I train 100% alone. So when I bench and do those kind of lifts, it's all from dead stop. Yep. So we've been lifting together, and it's this whole garage gym, you know, sweat pouring everywhere. But when guys take a week off from that heavy lifting, when you're used to putting, you know, hundreds and hundreds of pounds on that bar doing negatives and using the slingshot and everything else, that first time back, man, everything feels heavy. And that's the comments from everybody. Man, this feels heavy. We're just putting chains on here. Man, this feels heavy. We've only got bands and, you know, two or three plates on here. So that's the aspect of it too.
Without a doubt. And you know something, though? I get real torn with it because, let's face it, your body does have to recover, and there's nothing wrong with taking a week to 10 days off. All right. If you listen to some of the older ones, I mean, I've always been a big reader. I don't agree with all of his principles, but Vince Guaranda was way ahead of his time as far as, you know, bodybuilding, quote unquote. And I have a different perspective of bodybuilding way back in the day. I mean, you and I both know, a lot of these guys were accomplished Olympic lifters. They were accomplished strongmen, you know, and then they'd get on the stage after. And, you know, you look at any of the old time strongmen.
Absolutely.
But I remember Guaranda always preaching about, you know, basically work out 3 weeks and take a week off. And I was like, are you kidding me? You just like get going. But I do see his ideas. I get what he's saying, because You know, you've been doing it a long time. I've been doing it a long time. And I always have been a big fan of, like, John Grimmick, because, you know, Grimmick was in his late 70s and still squatting 350, man. Now, I that's how I look at myself right now, especially, because not that I'm anywhere near my 70s, but what I'm saying is I'd like to have a podcast with you in 35 years, man, and say, hey, Joe, what are you doing now? You still putting stuff over your head? Yeah. Well, what are you? Well, guess what? I'm 75 years old and I squatted 300 pounds still. That's what I'm getting at. It's like, you know, do we need the layoffs, and then do you need the mental anguish that goes with it a lot of times? I guess yes. It's like that yin and yang theory. You know, I don't know if I'd call it that, but it's like you got to give a little to take a little, give a little to take a little. And what I found is I don't do it every 3 weeks, but I'll tell you, sometimes it is a welcome thing. But then again, then you got to go through that whole mental thing. But on the other hand, too, I mean, that's got to be preparing you for better mental things down the road. That's how I try to convince myself, because like what your wife said, you better get out and train. You know, I've lost many a girlfriends because of taking weeks off. So, you know what I mean? It's there, because you and I and everybody else that does this stuff and really loves it, I don't get into this with a lot of people because they're not going to really understand the whole deal. We all run on a different plane, you know. We aren't the normal guy that's walking around. And that's how I always see it. Am I saying we're better? No, not in that context. Oh, I'm better than you are. But we might be better mentally and physically and spiritually, obviously. And like you said, you're walking around, you feel good. Like Dr. Ken used to say, I remember reading in like the old Milos or the Hard Gainers. Mm-hmm. You know, it's called walking strong.
Yep.
That's what I say about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, here's the thing. Everything has to be, you know, tempered with balance. I hate layoffs, and I do feel like everything feels heavier that first time back. But I can tell you, as far as physical restoration on my joints,
yeah,
especially, those weeks off are, you know, my body does say, wow, thank you for doing it. And it's mostly joints. You know, in my 40s now, I have found that mobility is, you know, a huge part of the game. That's a whole mental aspect, too, is forcing yourself to take time to work on mobility. Because mentally, you're like, man, I just want to hit the squat rack. Dude, I want to just pick up the bar. Let's rip the bar off the ground. You know, I just want to, you know, pop the log off, you know, all these different things. But forcing yourself mentally to take time and work on mobility, you know, and decide that, you know, my joints need that recovery, doing things that I wish I'd done when I was younger. You know, mm-hmm. I do a lot more. I used to be anti-stretching and everything else. But now I find myself doing more of the stretching, some light yoga, you know, after in the evenings, just so that I can hit again these, you know, PR after PR. I can tell you, a lot of times, you know, at the beginning it was hard to discipline myself to do that, but now that I've got so much more movement in my thoracic spine and mm-hmm. some other areas, my lifting has actually increased since doing body training.
Well, that doesn't surprise me at all. You know what I want to ask you before we really get rolling on more? Now, the last Milo I got, you had wrote a super article, you know, with stretching, with doing a halo with a kettlebell. You were doing some stretching with your back over a keg. Why, just for everybody out there in motivation muscle, if you don't mind, could you hit upon, I know you wrote the article for Randy, but could you maybe hit upon a couple of those things and just tell our audience why you felt, even if we talk about the halo, I know with the shoulder girdle and all that, and the keg stretching the back. Would you mind hitting upon a couple of those things? Just explain why you feel they're so beneficial.
Absolutely. For somebody like me, especially now when we started benching and, you know, the numbers are getting over 500, you know, I'm not talking about wearing shirts and stuff like that.
No.
It's a different type of benching. But, you know, slingshotting and stuff, working out with a 500, your joints really start to bear not so much loading, but, you know, what I find is that your body almost gets locked into those positions of lifting, where you find yourself, you know, your chest is sticking out all the time, your arms are way out, you know, and you're walking. Now, it's cool in one sense that, you know, you have this posture, but those actual positions of the lifts become downloaded into your system, and you lose all this mobility, especially if you're somebody like me that has to do brick breaking and all these different moves where mobility is essential. So doing like the halo opens up the shoulders it prepares, and what I call it, it kind of gives a neural massage. It massages your nervous system. That sounds kind of crazy, but what you're actually doing is you're getting loose, and you're loosening up that CNS. You know, your CNS can only handle so much. So you're loosening that up. My other favorite exercise, and again, I'm not getting anything from this plug, but the Sorinex hip thruster has made a massive difference in my everyday walking, lifting, everything. Because right in the morning, I can activate that posterior chain by just putting a band around there and doing that. And I find that I activate that all day. I mean, it's easier to kick that in during deadlifts and squatting that I can activate it right away. Because again, we do so much business work that our posture a lot of times is not good. That has been a huge thing. And then taking that into the keg rolling, the thoracic spine is so important. And if you watch most Americans and most lifters, they're just bent over all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Rounded back position.
Round shouldered. Yep. Yep.
Absolutely. And I find myself in that same category. Well, so starting to do this, the actual keg rolling, I didn't come up with any of these exercises. I'm not the inventor. But learning to roll back and just hold those positions until you feel it open up. And again, it's uncomfortable getting into that position where it's just severe discomfort. And then all of a sudden you'll feel something unlock and it's like, wow, now I can get back under the squat bar. I don't know about you, but, I'm at my age, you know, the mobility, it takes a lot to get the shoulders under the squat bar under the heavy, heavy weights.
And
that has helped tremendously.
Well, the one good thing, I don't know if you use one, I the only bar I use to squat is Strassen's cambered bar. And like John here, I'm not getting paid for any of this. I've known Randy for years, since almost the beginning he started that company. I've got a lot of Iron Mind stuff out there because I think it's quality stuff. But I can't really fit tightly, you know, a York Olympic bar, you know, it's very hard for me to even get under one of those now. It's just the shoulders are too wide, and, you know, they have a lot of whip with them too. But I totally agree with you with that. A machine I've got here, you might have one too, which really nails the posterior chain. And one of the reasons why I got it was mainly because of, you know, this dead stop stuff, the compression on the spine, and, of course, deadlifting, whether I was doing them with tires or conventional or trap bar, et cetera, et cetera. And I've never had any lower problems. I mean, knock on wood, anything that would put me out.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to thinking, I started reading about Michael Yeses's hip machine, you know, glute ham.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought one of these probably about, gosh, it had to be maybe 2000. He was having a hard time getting them, and I got one of the last ones. I know he's making them again, but for quite a while you couldn't get them. And this was basically based off the Russian, that whole style, especially with Alexia, other Olympic lifters, anybody that was into this stuff. What they used to do is Alexei would drape himself over a pommel horse. He'd lock his feet into like those gymnastic bars they'd have going all the way up the wall. Someone would put an Olympic bar over, you know, on his neck. And of course, he'd bend from the middle of his torso over the pommel horse and explode back up. And, you know, obviously, you know, I remember the old Perry Raider Iron Man, you know, years ago, they had pictures of these guys, because the United States couldn't understand, you know, how are these guys putting these numbers up? And, you know, everybody always say, well, it's steroids. Well, they're only going to do so much. I mean, you look at the spinal erectors on these guys, and literally they looked like cobras going down their back.
Oh, yeah.
And this is one of the things Yeses, you know, came up with. So he kind of copied the way they did it, and I bought one of the machines. And I'm going to tell you, John, that was one of the best investments I've ever made in my life. It's kept not only the back in very good condition, but it's put quite a bit of mass on it too. So, you know, when you talk about posterior chains and stuff, I mean, I just wanted to mention it. I'm sure you've had familiarity with it, but I think it's a very good piece to add if you can afford it.
Yeah, the glute ham raise, I have one that's a floor model that you actually, you know, it's a poor man's style, but the shear you can put on your hamstrings, you know, I'm telling you what, you can get a hamstring, the development you can get with that and how it carries over to the deadlift and everything else is just amazing. You know, John Brookfield and I used to have a joke we talked about, you know, if you're a field goal kicker, what's the best exercise, you know, for a field goal kicker? Well, it's kicking field goals. It's not all the assistance exercises. But in our sport, yes, you know, the best exercise for deadlifting is deadlifting, but there are some assistance exercises that can really take a good lifter and make them a great lifter. And the glute ham, hip extension, all that stuff is fantastic. I've been doing a lot of reverse hypers. You know, I do them explosively. I probably don't do them, you know, as the way that everybody else would do them. I do them extremely explosively to prepare my body for a lot of the stunts that I do. And it's been fantastic.
Now, John, would you use weight with that, or is that just body weight for reps or however you design something like that?
I actually purchased a machine. I used to do it all the time by holding kettlebells or medicine balls in between my legs. I would push them together. But as I got more and more explosive, I just wasn't getting the resistance I want.
Right.
So now I can put, you know, 180, 200 pounds on that machine and just rip them out for high, high reps, super explosive at the end of a workout. And the carryover is fantastic.
Well, did you ever notice, too, I mean, you've done dead stop stuff, obviously.
Oh, love it.
That's something that I've been working on for years. And I've got some really good material that I'm going to be putting out about it. I'll tell you what, anybody that's really into lifting, and I'll warn you up front, this stuff will, let me put it this way, it taught me not only patience, but it knocked me on my can more than once where, okay, I can do that with a rebound. Why can't I move this out of the hole? If you don't have humility, you're going to get humility doing that, okay? There's just something about it. But the thing I like about it most of all, I mean, it's like going in and waging war, man. You know, it's like you got to get under that thing, you know, take your breaths before you get under there, however you're going to do it. You know, I always do the tongue up against the roof of the mouth. You know, three big breaths, couple big stamps like a bull, swallow my air, get under it, and hope to God you come up straight because, like you, I'm sure, I've come up on one side, had to dump it, you know, drop it back down in the rack. You know, massive bruises all over, you name it. But I'll tell you what, it like I said, it's like being out in the battlefield, man. And it's like, you know, we're talking about this whole mental connection. I mean, my whole thing's always been this, what I've read, especially neurologically. The hands are the big feeder right there. Yep. You know, when you go to grab a bar, don't grab, just grab it. Grab it like you're going to strangle somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Get, you know, stamp your feet. Feel that charge from head to toe. Get under that thing. You know, nail it. And the thing is with this kind of stuff is, you know, as you were talking about in the early part of the show, it's almost like life's going to throw you a lot of curveballs. I don't care how successful you are. I don't care what's happened to you here, today, last year. And you know what? This mental connection of lifting, and this is what I hope John and I at least get across to everybody, and we want John on more shows, obviously. This prepares you for some of the worst or the best things that could happen to you in your life. And I challenge anybody out there to tell me it doesn't. I challenge anyone because you know what? If you're not with us on this show here, then there's something wrong outside with what you're doing because anybody sitting there right now listening to John and I, you got to be shaking your head up and down, yes. So what do you think about that, John? Did I hit that one? Did I hit the nail with the sledge that time or what?
Oh, absolutely, man. You knocked it out of the park. And, you know, here's the thing. You know, when you talk about getting all in mentally, you know, you're talking about stamping the feet and what it does for you and, you know, the connection you can have. Here's some of the extremes, you know, I've taken it to. This is how much you know, I try and embrace and get into everything I'm doing. In my book, Neuromass, I talk about that neurological stomp. I'm glad you hit on that. I didn't invent that. I don't know who, you know, started stomping before big lifts, but I've done it all the time because you talk about the hands and also the feet. There's so many nerves in there. And so I find by doing the massive stomp, I also do a lot of slapping. And then this is where I take it to extreme. I just showed a couple pictures in the book. One of the big things I've done for mental discipline, and it's going to sound weird, but it ties into the strength things that I do. I actually have what they call beating bags, and these come from overseas. You know, I think they originally probably came from Japan. I don't know the whole history on them, but they have different types of rock in them, and I actually take them and come swinging across and different parts of my body. If it's going to be a chest workout, I'll do that before I do the workout, getting ready to absorb that impact. And over time, man, I've been able to, you know, it's pretty forceful what comes across. And then with the hands, with my gripping, I do a lot of iron palm training where I'm using the iron palm rock bag, you know, continually pounding the hand in there so that, you know, you get that connection. And what happens is you find after a while, you feel superhuman. You know, you think, if I can handle this, if I can take a beating with a bag, I can take a beating in real life, whatever it is, whether it's the economy goes up or down, whether circumstances or relationships or whatever is happening, I can handle it because I've been trained in the gym. What I've done in the gym is harder than anything I'm going to face in real life. So
I agree with you.
We're talking about training for real life stuff. And
all right, with that, look at man, this stuff is great. I mean, this, you know, you've been around a while training like myself, and I'm sure you've run across a lot of naysayers, whether it's friends, family, just people in general that they'll look at you like, you know, huh, you know, like that. Or there'll be people like, you know, you supposedly, you know, you'll be out and you meet up with people. And, you know, one thing I don't like, and you know, a smart lifter, people underestimate lifters, in my opinion. The ones that are real successful are not only strong in nature, but strong of mind. And they're accomplished and they're educated. And you get these people you'll meet out. You know, say you're out with your wife or your girlfriend, and you might meet friends of hers or whatever. And, you know, I've had it happen to me where you'll have one of their friends, like the boyfriend will come over and, like, put his arm around and say, oh, you big – and, I tell him, you know, basically, you know, get off me. You know what I mean? It's like I'm not – but I'm not here, all right? I'm not here for you to think that, like, you're getting over or, you know, you can, like, kind of – I won't say mock, but almost like, you know – make light of what you do. And these people, most of them, they don't even hold a candle to you. But what I always try to do in any situation like that, I always think, show them that you're a little bit more classy than, you know, they're expecting you as a big man to either become physical or most likely show your vulgarity. Or, you know, this is what we think about you anyways, and you show us you are. Now, do situations come at you where sometimes you have no choice? Absolutely. But the best way to diffuse people like that, and this all goes back to mental training, is you know what you do? You just, whatever you got to say, you distance yourself and you hope that's the end. And a well-disciplined athlete that has the mental capacity like that in life, in business, in situations with meeting people, will always look like the winner, man. Will always look like the winner. So the 300-pound guy with the 21-inch arms and a 23-inch neck makes this other guy who thinks that, you know, we'll see what this guy's made of, you know, this and that and the other thing. He's the one that ends up turning tail and leaving and looks like the joke. So as John's saying, with this mental capacity, and what I'm saying here is lifting, and this is why I wish more people would give it a try. I mean, I want, if I could get a million people today to do it, and I could leave you one thing with it, learn it, man. Make it your life's goal. Let it become you. Like I always say, John, I don't know, you know, I'll move off this so you can answer, obviously, but my belief is this, and I've said this to anybody that's been on this show that's talking the way you and I are, I do believe that we were all born with this in our DNA.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I know that's a big thing to say, all right? I'm really putting something out there, but I think guys like you and I, the Rodgers, the Bud Jeffries, the whatever you want to talk about out there, you know, I really think that we, wherever we, you know, we know where we came from. Even if your parents weren't lifters, maybe they did play sports, blah, blah, blah. I think guys like us and the gals that are really in it, I think we're very unique, and I think we have it in our bloodlines.
I agree. You know, Eric, one of the things I like to say is, you know, I didn't find lifting. Lifting found me.
Bingo.
And that's right on. And, you know, you touched on something really interesting a few minutes ago. We were talking about how people perceive lifters. You know, I've heard the actual comment online, and, you know, we use it as a term of endearment a lot of times, but, you know, you're just a meathead. And here's the irony of this. I have found that 99% of the guys I know that lift, I would say 100% of the guys I know personally that lift heavy, they are some of the most well-read, most educated people on the planet. They know a lot, you know, and it's going to sound funny, and again, some doctor will come on and totally disagree with me. But, you know, these guys study the human body more than a lot of med students, you know, in some aspects. You know, they're going through and studying what makes this work and dissecting and training, you know, looking at the nervous system and how can I get better all the time. They're constantly evaluating, reading, digging deeper, because what happens, and here's a cool mental side of lifting. Once you get into it, one of the cool things is it always drives you to become better personally.
Yes.
You know, we talk about these big PRs. There becomes this drive that happens to you that, hey, if I squatted this amount this week, a month from now, I got to get this. Or a year from now, I want to be there. There's that drive that happens. And so what the natural byproduct of that is you begin saying, okay, mentally, what do I need to do to get from point A to point B? If I am lifting this now, what kind of education, what kind of resources do I need? What kind of diet? What's going to take me to that next level? And so, therefore, you've got a whole culture of guys that are constantly reading, digging, evaluating, and pushing themselves mentally. So there's no such thing as this meathead. These guys are some of the most well-educated people on the planet.
I agree. And not only that, it's a very interesting prospect to build confidence the way we do. And we all know confidence can take you to a lot of places, because when others don't believe in you, when others have counted you out, it's going to be you and only you through what you've built that's going to get you to where you got to get. I can tell you that personally, starting Fiorello Barbell from nothing 23 months ago and to where we are today, you know, getting ready to launch a product and basically the business, in my opinion, next month, and to have built a podcast already. And to be like the guy, you know, it's almost like the Wizard of Oz, the guy behind the curtain. You don't know who he is. Well, I'm the guy behind the curtain. And I can tell you this, I'm being honest, and I will never tell you any other thing, John, is this. If it wasn't for lifting and my strong beliefs in God and the confidence in myself, all the stuff that's happened, I would probably would have cracked. And I don't say that lightly. If it wasn't for lifting, I don't know. I couldn't tell you what would have happened or not happened, because I'm not a fortune teller. But it's got me through some big things. And I've told a couple of the guys off air, and I'll say this on air to you, because obviously we share quite a few of beliefs here, and I'm very happy about that. My brother Mark was over, and as I told you off air, my brother Jimmy, you know, had muscular dystrophy, and we lost him a number of years ago to it. And I can tell you it's touched everybody in my family because I'm a family of five, and I've got I have a brother out west in Seattle, I have a brother here in Albany, I have a sister here in Albany, and you know, they're all married and family and blah blah blah. But every one of them is physical. They're all weightlifters. My sister is a black belt, so I know that Jimmy really touched upon us, whether you realize it or not, because as I told people, my most vivid memory of him, and it's to this day, I just can't believe it, is my mother and father. You couldn't ask for better people. I mean, Jimmy was matriculated and everything. There wasn't anything wrong with him mentally. You know, he went to his first year of high school before he passed on. It was incredible. But the thing that used to really, I could never understand how he did it. We'd take him everywhere with us. It didn't matter if we were playing ball or, we all played baseball, and football, everything. And, we'd push him in the wheelchair. And I'd look over at him and he'd be watching us, and I used to sit, stand there and he'd be smiling and yelling stuff and all that. And I'd say to myself, how in God's name does he sit there like that? And he can be so happy to not be able to get up and do anything with anybody else. And it's like, if you can't learn something mentally from that, when I built this company in his name, it was like, that guy has more mental tenacity than anybody I'll ever meet in my entire life. Period. There's nobody else. I mean, I sat there and watched him, enjoy us. And I'm saying to myself, my God, man, that to me, it was more painful than anything I've ever seen before. So the mental aspects of everything you do, and I would say especially we're referencing a weightlifter here, even though John does speak, I'm sure, with many companies about this, which they really need to hear it just like everybody else, is this. Weightlifting to me, I don't care what other sport you talk about. We can say Olympic. We can say strongman. We can do endurance, whatever you want to call it. There's nothing better than weightlifting out there. I'd put every single dime I've got on it against anybody with it, John.
Well, and you know what's interesting about that? You talk about all other sports. What do all other sports use to improve their individual sport? Weightlifting.
Exactly.
It's the one thing that they all have to do to improve their sport. But, you talk about Jimmy, and here's the thing that's so motivating about that. Anytime I've been around any individual, and I've been around a lot, that have had some kind of disability, and they looks like on the outside life has not dealt them a good hand. Mm-hmm. When I see them and I think about and just have a chance to sit down and talk with them, they would love to be out doing what we get to do. And mm-hmm. anytime I don't have the motivation to get down and do it, I'm thinking, that person would do anything mm-hmm. to be able to do what I'm doing. How can I not go down and, perform to my very best of my ability? Because there are those that would give anything to be able to do that, to have the freedom to go down, even to walk, much less lift.
And go ahead.
Well, and I say, and then the second part of that with something, Jimmy, is that's where, our faith comes in and our hope. If we don't have that faith in God, then we realize, that's just the end. That, he lived this great life, but where's the hope? And to know that, I would believe, and, with my faith, that, Jimmy's not in that wheelchair anymore.
He's not. Nope.
And so that's the hope, So, people like that, they give us hope through our faith, and then they give us motivation through what we're doing, because it's like, they would do anything to be able to have the privilege, and that's where it comes down to. Lifting is such a privilege. Working out, we don't know how good it is to be able to do what we get to do.
Well, and I was going to, and before I went off with talking about Jimmy, this is what Mark, my brother Mark, he's the youngest one, and he was over here a few weeks ago and we were talking because he had gone to a garage sale and found like an old picture of, I don't know if it was Chuck Sipes. I don't remember what it was, or it was, he had found, believe it or not, somebody had a picture. Let me think. Or was it Colombo when he was deadlifting? It looked like endless 45s on there. I can't remember. I wish I did. but he was going to have it framed and everything. Was that nice? And I was like, you found that? He goes, yeah, I've been going to garage sales, and I'm finding all kinds of, like, lifting stuff. And I was like, you find any of the old Iron Man magazines, grab every one you got for me. But that's another story. So we're sitting there BSing about everything. And I said to Mark, I turned to him, I said, hey, you know what, Mark? If there's one thing I did right in my life, that was to start weightlifting. And he turned to me and he said, ditto that with me, man. And I was like, and that's the truth. Because, you know, you feel you do a lot of things right and you've done a lot of things wrong. And that's just part of living and growing. But I can say here right on the air to you, John, and everybody else listening, I'm so glad, and like you said, lifting found me just like it found you and everybody else. I thank God every day I got it, because I don't know what I would do without it. It's as much as me walking down the stairs, you know, or brushing my teeth every day. I don't do one without the other. Now, do I lift every day? No, I don't. I mean, for what I do, I'd be in pieces. But I'm always doing something physically, whether it's out mowing a lawn. Like yesterday, I started pulling my house apart, you know, cleaning all the woodwork, all the windows. I do it every, you know, summer and fall I do it, all right? And I've got a fairly good-sized house. So I'm always doing something on the physical end, because it's like it's just my nature. I like it. You know, I go out and garden, whatever it is. So to finish that piece off, it's like, yes, that was definitely the best move I've probably ever made in my life.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, lifting will take you and drive you to do some amazing things mentally. You'll have such a toughness. I always talk about demanding workouts demand mental toughness. And, you know, for anybody that's ever struggling with mental toughness, the best thing you can ever do is to get into some crazy training that's going to force you to dig deep. You know, we talked about embracing the discomfort. One year, I heard earlier we were talking about how bad the winters are out there.
Yeah.
I got this idea from my mentor, John Brookfield. I started dousing. I didn't do it this year, but I did it years past. And you have to start out, usually, like for us, it's about October. It starts to get pretty cold in the evenings.
Yep.
And you start out, and every night you go out, and I would go out in the backyard, and I would have 2 5-gallon buckets filled with cold water, and just slowly let that, you know, go over the body from the head all the way down to the feet. 2 buckets. And you start in October when it's not so bad, and then you get into December, January, and it's below zero out there, and the wind's whipping and wailing, and you still continue to douse. And I can tell you the rush from that and the mental discipline it takes to do that carried over into everything else. But, you know, it was that whole idea. I was willing to pay the price, do whatever it was, to our PR. And one of the things about dousing is I believed it increased hormonal. It gave me a hormonal boost. It gave me an immunity boost. I was never healthier than I've ever been in my life as far as colds or anything than when I was dousing out there in below zero temperatures. My wife took pictures of it, said, you're a nut, but it paid off, you know?
Well, and I haven't gone as far as you have. I've done it because I read those articles, obviously, in Milo and stuff, and I've read, you know, John Brookfield articles too. I think that might be a potential to start in October again too, because as I told you offline, we are looking at possible. Well, I'm going next year regardless, but tentatively, if things start really smoking here, we're going to Iceland in May of 2015 to go after the Húsafell stone again. So this will create another thing where, you know, and I've done this year after year, I've got a 95-foot driveway, probably from the garage door, maybe it might be a third of it. If you go down one side, it's all either made stones or natural stones, you know, big, huge tires to flip. The other side has a setup where I have, there's 6x6s down through the frost line. We got dip bars there. We've got a homemade thing where I have my Husa steel stones where I can attach it to these big, huge steel rings. And I've got another piece where I felt that was very beneficial to really work your outer pecs, especially when you're lifting a stone of this magnitude. For anyone that's not familiar, this stone is in Husafell Island. It weighs approximately 418 pounds. It's a volcanic stone. Not many handholds, so you better have one hell of a lower back to drive that thing up, and you better have some forearms to hold that because it is massive. So what this is going to create this winter, once again, is I'm going to be outside. Not that I'm not usually anyways, but I'm going to have to be walking with that beast all winter to get ready for May. So the dowsing would definitely be a very big part of this this regimen that I got to have ready for next year.
Oh, yeah, I love it. I think it's a great idea, great way to get training, you know, and to build that mental toughness to get over there and, you know, rip that stone and take her for a hike.
Well, you know, it's 50 meters, John. My this is what I want to do. I'd like to be in such good shape I could take it two loops. The only guy I ever saw that did that, I think it might have been Magnus for Magnuson when they had the Iceland Winter Games. Would I be happy with one loop? You bet I would, man. Because in 08, I went over there, I tore my bicep, so I got knocked out. Mm-hmm. We were over there like Bill Crawford and all those guys. They organized it. We went over in 11, another guy and myself, and we got caught in a storm that was so bad, I thought we were dead. I mean, it was that bad because you're up in these mountains and they went black and it was pretty dangerous stuff. You know, you could pick it up, but you weren't going around with it. Ice was freezing right to the stone. Of course, we went in November that year and the weather was nice here and it was like that in Iceland. And I was ready to go and it was good up to that night and got a lot of rain and it was coming down. It looked like needles hitting you. It was so tough. I mean, we're throwing our gear in between the stones and, you know, snow-capped mountains are black within like a minute. And, you know, it was some pretty dangerous stuff. I can tell you this. The stuff was coming down so hard. I had a flannel shirt on, and it would just open enough in the back when you go to pull the stone. It was like picture somebody taking a garden hose, sticking it right under the collar and turning it on. That's how much water was running down my back.
Oh, man.
So
Intense.
Yeah.
Never forget it.
Hey, look, those guys said to me, and they're right. I mean, you know, on the bicep, I got a permanent scar there forever. That's okay. That's Iceland, you know. Was I disappointed we couldn't get around in 11? Yeah, absolutely. But I got back there, got to get the thing up. It didn't work out. And, you know, everybody's like, oh, what the hell did you go in November for? Well, look, I was ready. I didn't want to wait till the spring. Should I have? Probably. But I don't ever seem to do anything right anyways with stuff. I always seem to go the opposite direction, you know? And once again, that's that mental connection deal where it's like, you got to get over and do it. You got to go do it. You got to go do it. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go do it. So what people see as like, well, you made a bad move or, you know, you paid for it, you know, whatever. I want to tell you something. I got more mental tenacity out of that than probably anything I ever did because you know what? Once again, I mean, granted, it's 11, it's 14 now. You know, we've had some monetary shakeups here, and that's why I haven't been over. I'll tell people that. But if things go the way I'm figuring and the correction's there, this next time's going to be – I'm going to be the goose that lays the golden egg this time. You know, I plan on taking that thing, strangling it, and getting around that thing like a madman. That's my plan.
Well, and how many times, you know, think about this, Eric. Here's the mental side of it. How many times have you rehearsed that in your head right now? Over and over.
My
you
God.
Can see yourself taking that thing. You know, once you finally do it, you know, you're in your mind, you'd be like, I've done this 1,000 times in my mind before.
Yeah.
You know, every
yeah.
day thinking about picking that thing up and taking it for a walk, you know.
Well, I'll tell you something funny. Two things. You know, thank God for Steve Jack because he's the one that propelled all these people to do that. That was him. You know, that was the Bill Crawfords. That was, you know, the Steffies are in World's Strongest Man. All these people, if it wasn't for him, I mean, I never even known about it, you know. So thanks, Steve, on that note. But I'll tell you something that's – this will tell you how devoted I am to this. We just had a Whole Foods open here in Albany. And I knew from Boston that they carried a skyr. For anybody that doesn't know, it's S-K-Y-R. I don't really call it a yogurt. I guess that would be the closest thing. But this stuff is more like eating I don't know, mix up some something as thick as you can imagine and try to get it down, but it's not in a bad way. Well, they sell it here, and it's made in Iceland, and they have to get it over here. And I buy that stuff like crazy. You know, I'm not a big, you know, I'm very careful with sugar and things of that nature. But I'll tell you why I do this, John, because it makes me feel like I'm close to Iceland every time I eat one of those. Okay? So
I love
the mental prep, the mental preparation right there, and what I do to myself every time I eat that is once again another trick. You know, it's another way to prepare. It's another way to say, you know what, I'm going to get there again, and I'm going to do it this time. There isn't going to be any more injuries. We're not going to mess around with weather. And if we got weather, we're going to be 5 minutes away where, you know what, if it rains that day, I still have a few more days to go nail it. So with everything you do, you learn. And if you're smart enough to take that learning and incorporate it into what you do, how can't you have success, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what it's all about, man. When you tie the brain, the body, the training, the program, the preparation, the discipline, the motivation, you cannot lose.
You can't. And you know something? This is something I know, especially what you do. The kids need to hear this. You need to have it really, I don't mean physically, you really need to have it beaten into your head. You don't realize until you start doing this stuff how much fun it is. And you know, like you're saying, well, it's painful. Well, it is painful, but isn't it funny, you know and I know what you can take pain-wise, and you don't really know how much more you can take. It's like you look forward to it. It's all right, come on and just beat the living crap out of me today, all right? I'm going for a dead stop squat of 600, and I can't move it, or I move it an inch off there. So, you know, you can call it a little partial, whatever you want to call it there, all right? And then you come in the next time, and, you know, all right, well, you know, I'm going to go maybe 90% of that, you know, so I'm going to go at 540 today. All right, well, I get under 540, I nail it like it's 2.25 on me. Well, now we've rebuilt the head. You know, now we know, all right, I did 540 today. I got 60 more pounds to do to hit that 600 now. Okay, what am I going to do? So maybe you go midpoint again, or you know what, maybe the next time you come in, you are so damn ready to go and so aggressive, you get under that 600, and you probably for that day maybe could have done 6.25. So never count yourself out, number one, and do these mental connections. Put yourself under pressure. You know, I remember a thing, and we'll get right back to you, John, because these things just keep flashing in my head, because when I'm talking to somebody like with what you got, it makes me go, whoo. It's like, it's great. Maybe you even heard too. I remember an interview with Sylvester Stallone. I'm a big Rocky fan.
Oh, yeah.
I remember him saying he'd always put himself in uncomfortable situations. And I'm like, okay. And he said he would take a tennis ball sometimes and squeeze it with both hands till it felt like his hands were going to both explode. And I sat there for a second. And I was like, holy crap, man. I was like, this is it. This is what it's about. It's like your body has capabilities we don't even have a clue to, all right? And there's a guy saying a simple tennis ball, squeeze it till your hands feel like they're going to blow up. And I was like, holy, you know, you don't even think of stuff like that, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, I love that the whole idea of putting yourself into this uncomfortable situation, this difficulty. That's what training really is. It is training you to handle discomfort. And that tolerance goes up and up and up. And, you know, you talk about we don't know what the human body is capable of. We all hear these stories. I mean, they're documented. When you can, when the governor is shut off of your body, what you can do crazy things. You hear about these old ladies lifting cars off of people or whatever. When the adrenaline kicks in, that's what's cool is we have a quest to shut the governor of our bodies off and really see how far you can take it. You know, for everybody, it's a little different. You know, we're all given different gifts and genetics, but I still think anybody can do superhuman things when they learn to train to shut that governor off, and it all comes through putting yourself over and over in difficult situations.
Oh, without a doubt. John, we're going to wind the show up today. I hope we can have you on again. I mean, we're in over an hour now, and I could probably talk to you for 3 hours. I thoroughly enjoyed this. I really enjoyed this, and I hope we can get you on again very soon. I know we haven't even scratched the stuff with mental work, and, you know, I like the idea of the stretching, and, you know, we can talk more about, obviously, dead stop training, and, you know, I'd like you to talk about anything that's very pertinent with your businesses here. So before we sign off, why don't you give everybody your websites again, anything that you got coming up in the next, say, a week, 2 weeks, a month from now. Why don't you let my listeners, you know, guide them again into how they can get to know you better.
Well, again, you can get on. The website is submitstrength.com. And also, if you want equipment and training stuff, and then www.pressingthelimits.com. And on there you can see the upcoming calendar of places I'm going to be in October, just coming up here in August. I believe it's August 9th, that Friday, I'm going to be in Delta, Ohio, doing a full Pressing the Limits program, and there's details about that. And then on August 15th, I'm going to be in Saginaw, Michigan, doing a full Pressing the Limits show, you know, the board breaking or the brick breaking, nail driving, steel bending, barbell. You got to go. It's a cool thing. You got to see it. Love to have you.
Now, John, do you have a YouTube channel and stuff like that or no?
Yeah, on the Pressing the Limits channel,
yeah.
you can see all kinds of stuff right on that website. You know, hooking Harleys up to my arms and letting them take off. Just all kinds of crazy stuff.
Well, what we'll do, too, is, you know, we'll go out there and look at some of that, and we'll put them up on Fiorello Barbell so, you know, some people can get a really good look at you, and hopefully they'll come in some of the shows and, you know, send some business your way, too. You know, that'd be a nice thing to do. Is there anything else that you want to add?
Hey, I just appreciate you putting us on the podcast today. Had a great time. Looking forward to seeing success in your upcoming business. I know it's going to be amazing. You know, the strength world better watch out for Eric because he's coming for you.
Well, thanks, John. I appreciate that. And before we go, obviously, I'm going to get a few things out here. You can contact us at www.fiorellobarbellco.com. Obviously, if you go out to the site, you can get to me. There's many ways you can call me. Obviously, our email is fiorellobarbell@nicap.rr.com. You can get a hold of me on Twitter at fiorelloeric. That's FIORILLOERIC. We're going to have a big announcement in a couple weeks, too, so we're really looking forward to that. We are on iTunes and Stitcher. So as I tell everybody, and I'll tell John, John and I are being heard all over the world, and the world needs to hear more of us, obviously. This is Motivation Muscle, the show that connects your brain to your brawn. And today, we definitely connected that brain to the brawn. We're going to have a lot of new things coming. Look for things happening in mid-August. We're going to give you more as it comes down the pike there. There's a lot of interesting things we're going to be doing. Obviously, I talked to John about Iceland as a big potential, and I've invited John to come with us if he can get away and would like to do something like that. We'd love to have him. So this is Eric Fiorello for John Bruni. We want to thank you for listening to us today, and have a good week. And obviously, I'm going to have Coach Rob Regish is going to be on Thursday morning, and I might potentially have a big surprise for Friday. We're going to see if we can lock that up today. So everybody, have the rest of the week. Have a great week. Get out there and connect that mental, you know, your mentalness there, like we were talking about. Get out there and do that. And I'm looking forward to having some more shows with John, and we'll touch upon some other things. So have a great day, and thanks again.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.